Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is from the Florida Panthers, friend of the show, but we haven't caught up with him in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Your boy, your former tandem down in Florida, here is Roberto Luongo. What's happening, Roberto?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing pretty well. Draft week, I mean, you were a top five pick. Take us back to that experience for you. How nervous were you leading up to the draft?
Oh, it was crazy. My draft was in Pittsburgh. I think it was 1997, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, it was just the nerves. You know, I wasn't sure where I was going. Luckily, you know, I didn't have to wait too long. So, you know, it felt like forever to get your name called. But after that, the day was a blur. You know, obviously a day that you always remember. I mean, that's pretty much your dream coming true as a kid. So it was a great moment.
How often do Maple Leaf fans remind you that you were drafted with a Maple Leaf pick?
Oh, not often. Actually, I didn't even kind of forgot about it now that you mentioned it. Yeah, funny to know.
Well, that was the Wendell Clark trade, like yeah. Wendell coming back, and obviously Leaf fans were ecstatic about Wendell, but now you look back on it and you're thinking, wait a minute, maybe Roberto Luongo could have been a Leaf for the past 20 years.
Well, who was the goalie there at the time? Maybe you guys didn't need a goalie or the past.
I think they probably could have used
you. Probably could have used you, I would imagine. Yeah. But, so leading up to the draft, was there a time where you had multiple meetings with organizations? Were they doing that back then? I know with me, I had meetings with a lot of different organizations. I couldn't figure out who liked me and who didn't. Were you in the same boat?
Yeah, I think if I recall correctly, I probably had like four or five meetings. Obviously, the Islanders were one of them. I think I met with Boston. There was a few. I think Boston had the first pick that year, if I'm not mistaken. They took Joe. I met with a few teams, and then it was, you know, obviously nerve-wracking because you walk in and they're sitting in the boardroom, and you know you're intimidated, right? You're just 18 years old, and you want to make a good impression. And back in the day, I was a little more quiet, a bit more reserved, so it was not something that I was very comfortable with. But you know, I tried to be myself and give them some good answers, and I think it all worked out well in the end.
I think we're all kind of nervous and shy during these interviews, Roberto. What do you kind of see? Do you see any difference in these young kids these days? They seem pretty confident and sure of themselves, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. I think times have changed a lot, you know, from when I was a kid. Even not necessarily the draft, but, you know, when you see rookies coming up playing in their first year, you know, in the league with the boys. I mean, I didn't talk for my first 4 or 5 years before I was felt comfortable saying anything in the locker room. But,
we
you know, nowadays...
To.
Yeah, no, exactly. You have to raise your hand if you wanted to ask a question. It's like a fool. But nowadays, you know, they come in and they're just like a regular, you know, regular guy. And we joke around a lot, the older guys with, you know, some of the younger guys that act like they're, you know, they've been around, like they've played 1,000 games before. So it's pretty funny to see some of them come up. But, in the most part, they're all good guys. It's just a matter of, you know, things have changed so much that it's not what it used to be.
We're chatting with Roberto Luongo of the Florida Panthers. We're live in Chicago ahead of the NHL draft tomorrow night. With that being the case, as you said, the first 4 or 5 years into the league, you didn't even speak because you didn't feel comfortable speaking amongst the veterans. Take us back to that time in your career. If I had told you at some point you're going to be the captain of a team, how would you have responded?
Well, I wouldn't have believed you. I think, you know, it's not something you see in general, but I know in retrospect, a lot of people saw it as something that was didn't turn out great or very well. But I tell you what, I enjoyed it. I thought it was an awesome experience for me to do that, and I don't regret it at all. I think it was something that not many people say they can do, and to me, it was a great experience, and I enjoyed it, even though. In the end, you know, we kind of gave it back to Henrik and gave it to Henrik, I should say, and decided to focus more on the goaltending side of things.
I find that the interactions between goaltenders and refs can be some of the best material going, and I would guess that the refs probably allow you guys to get away with more because you're such a unique position. But how did your interactions with the refs maybe change or get affected by the captaincy? Did you feel like you had to be more diplomatic or fight for your teammates more and be less focused on your own situation?
No, not really. I think the assistants were really taking care of that stuff more on the ice. I mean, once I was on the ice, I was a goalie, and that was it. I mean, the toughest part of my job was the ceremonial puck drops. I had trouble winning those draws. But other than that, I mean, when I was on the ice, I was just playing goal. I wasn't really focused on talking to the refs or whatnot. And that was more the assistants that would come in and help me out with that kind of stuff.
You look at this year, a lot of polarizing plays in the playoffs as far as goaltender interference and offside. And, you lived through it this season. What do you make of some of those rule changes and tweaks by the league? And as a player, where you focused on it, especially as a goaltender, you're trying to fight for position, you get bumped, and you don't want to sell something, but you're seeing some guys sell it and get it called back. Like, as a goaltender, what are you thinking right now as far as some of the rules that are implemented?
Yeah, I mean, as far as goaltending interference goes, that's tough, man. It's hard for the refs. The game happens so quickly. It's tough for them to see exactly what happens on the play without actually seeing a review. So it's a tough call. I mean, it could go either way. Most nights you're not sure exactly how it's going to go. I know we got burned by it a few times during the season that cost us a couple goals, but. I think at the end of the day, we need to, whatever the rule is, it doesn't matter. I think everybody needs to be on the same page and have a better understanding of what is and what isn't. I think if everybody knows clear-cut what it is, I think it'll help everybody, the goalies and the forwards. As far as the offside rule review, I'm not a big fan of it. I think especially, if the guy offside has nothing to do with the play or the goal or whatnot, I don't think it's really helpful to the game, especially, when you're trying to create goals, not take them away. So, I wish there was a better way to find a solution where, even if the play was outside by a millimeter or whatever, if the player involved is not really involved in the play, it's not worth it to review it. But I don't know. I mean, that's not my job at this point, but obviously I think a lot of people are a little bit turned off by the offside reviews.
Roberto, can you take us back in time and give us one nugget that Noodles taught you to make you the goaltender you are today? Just one thing. He had to have given you something.
I got the perfect. This is how to hide the hot dog in the glove when you're not playing on the bench.
That's a legacy.
Yeah, that's it. That's a legend right there.
I just remember having to come in. I think you got a shot in the collarbone one time, and Sean Hill brought me onto the ice, and I still had your towel tucked into my left pad, and I forgot about it, and during the play it popped out, and Sean Hill had it on the end of his stick and threw it over the board. So,
like, have you ever had a guy like Roberto Luongo come up to you on the bench and say, like, how are you feeling tonight, and you just flat out looked at him and said, don't even think about it?
That's a funny story. I think it was after Noodles left, James Shields was my backup, and it was the end of the year. We were out of the playoffs, like, guys just wanted to go home, and I took out like a hard slap shot in my glove, and I was hurting. Like, I didn't know if my hand was broken, and I skated to the bench, and Shields was like, nah, you're fine, shake it off, we'll go back in there, you're fine. he wasn't going in no matter what, so he was like, just go back in there, you're fine.
Well, what about the reverse, though? The 65-game starter who gets a night off and the backup gets hurt.
That's so greasy.
That happens to me all the time for some reason. Like, I enjoy my nights off, and then for some reason or another,
happened with
Monty a couple of years ago. He got hurt a bunch of times. Rhymes again this year, once or twice. And when I'm not playing, I'm not playing. Like, I don't get ready mentally. Like, a night off is a night off. So
you may not even have your gear on.
Yeah, well, half of my gear's in the locker room, so I'm like, I don't have my cup on. I'm like, oh, I got to get in there now. It's like.
That's got to be such a cool experience, though. If you know you're not playing and you're just chilling out, like, it's a great town. It's
just checked out.
Man, I would mail that in. I can only imagine what that experience would be like.
No, I know. It's not fun when the goalie lets in one or two early in the game, because then you're like, oh, no. Like, you start getting, like, nervous. Like, you don't know what's going on. You keep looking at the coach, right, to make sure. If you're looking at me, you try not to make eye contact. You're looking on the floor. Like.
I would be looking back at the coach and just saying, don't even think about it.
Like, give the coach the finger.
I'm not going in. We're chatting with Roberto Luongo of the Florida Panthers. We're live in Chicago at the NHL Draft.
Have you had any contact with Bobby Bugner coming in?
I haven't met with him yet. I think he was here for when he got introduced, and he headed back out. I think he's going to be here next week when we have a development camp. So I'm going to head down there and maybe go for a few skates. See how everything feels, and I'm sure I'll have a chance to chat.
How are you feeling? A lot of people obviously looking forward to seeing you get back in there on a regular basis. Injury problems a year ago. How do you feel about this upcoming season?
Yeah, I feel good. I think it was a tough year. After the surgery, I felt well for pretty good for the most part of the year, and then seems that some problems started happening after the holidays, and it just kept getting worse, and got to the point where I couldn't play through it. So I've been pretty much rehabbing since early March, and it's been about three four weeks now that I've been symptom free, which is fun. And I'm excited to get back on the ice and do my thing. I mean, that's what it's all about.
We're looking forward to it. We always appreciate you taking time for us, and enjoy the rest of the off season. I'm sure we'll bug you again down the road.
Yeah, no problem. My pleasure, guys.